As of the first month of 2014, I've discovered conclusive evidence that all the so-called popes and cardinals from Innocent II onward had been idolaters or formal heretics, and thus were apostate anti-popes and apostate anti-cardinals. Also, all of the theologians and canon lawyers from 1250 onward have been apostates. See RGMI article and audio, No Popes or Cardinals Since 1130. Hence, all of their teachings, laws, judgments, and other acts are null and void. Therefore, all of the ecumenical councils, canon laws, and other acts from apostate anti-pope Innocent II onward are null and void. This recording was made before the first month of 2014. Therefore, some of the popes I may refer to in it were actually apostate anti-popes, and thus all of their teachings, councils, canon laws, and other acts are invalid, null and void. And some of the theologians I may refer to were actually apostates. However, the teachings, laws, and judgments of the apostate antipopes, apostate theologians, invalid councils, or invalid canon laws are nevertheless useful to quote, since they reflect dogmas, good laws, or good judgments that were validly enacted by true popes or taught by Catholic theologians or true saints. Okay, today is October 19th, year 2008, and it's the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. We're going to talk about a very important thing as we go along exposing the root of the great apostasy, which we finally did get to the root of it, as you've been listening to my past sermons, about the reintroduction and glorification of philosophy and the melding of it with theology, which led to mythology, which caused the unleashing of Satan, which was the Black Plague, pornography in the Vatican and naked statues, which led to the Salvation Heresy. Now, all of this hinges upon a very important thing, that canonizations are not infallible. And I've taught that in my book, and it's imperative that everybody should understand this. St. Paul even teaches this in Galatians 1:8, that even if an angel should come down from heaven, who you think is a saint, and he teaches something that is heretical or wrong, don't listen to that apostate. It's very easy to prove canonizations are infallible if you read my book. Simply put, and I'll just give you a real brief on it. The churches always knew from the time of Peter that the Pope can teach infallibly on faith and morals when he invokes his charism of infallibility, such as in councils, but they didn't know how far it extended. Did it include disciplinary laws? Did it include canonizations? It didn't. Vatican Council said the Pope is only infallible when he teaches on doctrines of faith or morals, and on doctrines and faith or morals that were delivered to the original apostles, the original revelations given to the original apostles. So upon the death of the last apostle, there is no more subject matter for infallibility. So any so-called saint that died after the death of the last apostle cannot possibly even be subject matter for infallibility, let alone the canonizations of a pope making a saint. He's declaring the personal sanctity of an individual. The Holy Ghost never promised it that charism. That has nothing to do with a doctrine of faith or morals. It's a done issue. It's a done deal. We've even had so-called saints like Clement of Alexandria, who they thought was a saint up to the 17th century, then upon further investigation of his work, removed him from the martyrology. But I'm going to go beyond this. Common sense tells a lot of us this, if we wanted to admit to it, that hold the salvation dogma. And we're going to point out in this sermon the hypocrisy of people like the apostate Diamond Brothers and the apostate St. Benedict Center, and people like them that
claim to
hold the salvation dogma, but they want to go around and saying stuff like Alphonsus de Liguria is a saint. And you're going to learn in this sermon, well, if he's a saint, then the salvation dogma is not a dogma, it's only an opinion. It is not a dogma. It's only an axiom or a thesis, but it's not a dogma. Why? Because the apostate Alphonsus de Liguria denied that dogma. You're going to learn that in this sermon. And you can't have it both ways. If that's a dogma, and it truly is, and you defend it as a dogma, you got to condemn Alphonsus for teaching heresy, and you have to denounce him as a heretic. The Diamond Brothers say Alphonsus made a mistake. They don't call it heresy even. They just said he made a mistake, and he's human, and all humans make mistakes. Well, what kind of a mistake? As your brothers all know, one of the big tricks of the apostate Vatican II Church and the apostate antipopes is to replace words for heresy and heretic that diminish the crime.
For instance, apostate antipope John Paul II and the Vatican II Church refer to heresy as differences, defects, wounds, dogmatic misunderstandings, polemics, past events, and certain tensions. But never did they use the H word, heresy. This was a practice well before Vatican II. One such pre-Vatican II heretic who replaced the H word heresy with other words that downgrade the heresy to a non-heretical error was Father Joseph Clifford Fenton. Father Fenton rightly pointed out many theologians who were denying the salvation dogma, but he never actually said they were teaching heresy. He used different words instead of heresy. For instance, when he was pointing out their denial of the salvation dogma, he used words like this. He said their denial runs counter to the obvious and primary meaning of this doctrine. And he said it is incompatible with a statement of this truth in the documents of the church's magisterium. So he's saying it's incompatible with the church's magisterium. So that's heresy, correct? But he never uses the H word. He goes on also to say that it is incompatible with the manifest significance of any one of these declarations of the church's magisterium. Then he says it's an imperfect presentation of Catholic doctrine. Then he says the explanations fall afoul of the conciliar pronouncements of the necessity of the church. And then he says they cannot be legitimately employed, these opinions. Then he refers to them, those who deny the salvation dogma, as being extravagant in teaching errors. Then he says that their opinion is in opposition to authoritative declarations of the church's magisterium and not in accord with the teaching of the magisterium. He uses all these words, which can be none other than heresy. That's what happens when you oppose a solemn magisterial dogma. It's heresy. He never uses the heresy word, and neither did the Diamonds when they're talking about Alphonsus. They just called it a mistake. And they didn't say what type of a mistake it was. So we can see here that the Diamond Brothers are also non-judgmentalist heretics who diminish the crimes by trying to make you believe Alphonsus de Liguori only taught a mistake, but he didn't teach heresy.
A simple error that is non-heretical and that doesn't go against an ordinary magisterial doctrine is allowable. But it's not allowable to have an error that is called heresy, the big H words. Mind you, folks, listen to what I'm going to say here now. And I'm going to put all these bastards and cowards on the spot because they're hypocrites. And this relates to something that was sent to me by a catechumen, and he's getting ready to come into the church, and he pointed out the Diamond Brothers' hypocrisy in this matter. I don't go to their website. I don't go to any of these websites. Whenever God wants me to get something, he has somebody send it to me, and then I respond to it. Well, this was sent to me in an email taken off the Diamond Brothers website. And it has to do with either they're going to acknowledge that canonizations aren't infallible, or they're going to have to say the salvation dogma is not a dogma. And then they also, I'm going to read what else they said, and I'm going to point out their hypocrisies. But let me first just start out with what I started on here, the salvation dogma. Now, I'm sure all you would agree that if I came out and said, and somebody asked me, Brother Richard, is Jesus God? And I said, personally, I believe Jesus is God. But you're allowed to have the other opinion of the Arians and the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses that he's not God. That's an allowable, probable opinion. What would everybody say to me? I'm an apostate. I'm not just a heretic, but I'm an apostate because I'm denying the divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Alphonsus de Liguori, the notorious heretic, did in his Moral Theologia. He personally believed that you had to believe in the Holy Trinity and the Incarnation to be saved. But it was only his personal opinion, because he also said the second opinion, which was held by many of your salvation heretics in his day, is probable, it's possible, and it's allowable. And I'm going to read it to you from his Theologia Moralis. And it's in Tome 2, Book 3, Chapter 1, Question 2, pages 104 and 106. And it's in a different tome in another collection, but it's the same quote. We already checked it out. Let me read to you about the heretic Alphonsus. And I will tell you, folks, if the Diamond Brothers call this only a mistake, then kissing the Quran is only a mistake. Then teaching that Muslims worship the true God is only a mistake and not a heresy. And they have no right to denounce the apostate anti-popes of the Vatican II Church. You cannot have it both ways. When you say that you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity and the new covenant era to be saved, that's a basic dogma. And if Alphonse can say that and get away with it, and it's only a mistake, then JP2, the rat man, Benedict XVI only made a mistake, and John the 23rd only made a mistake, and Paul the 6th only made a mistake, and Luther only made a mistake, and all the heretics only made a mistake. You can't have it both ways. I'm going to expose this hypocrisy. I start. Here's the question that he's posing, Alphonsus. Is it required by a necessity of means or of precept to believe explicitly in the mysteries of the Holy Trinity in incarnation after the promulgation of the gospel, which means after Pentecost Sunday? He gives his first opinion, which he happens to believe. He believes you do need to explicitly believe in it. Very nice, Alphonsus, but you didn't go far enough. By allowing the other opinion, you opened everything up as just an opinion and not a dogma. Here's the heretical part, he goes. But the second opinion, that is also sufficiently probable, says by necessity of precept, all must explicitly believe in the mysteries. However, for necessity of means, it suffices to implicitly believe in the mysteries. He's saying you don't always have to believe explicitly in the incarnation and the Holy Trinity. There's certain circumstances in which you don't, people who have never heard about it or don't understand it correctly, like the Arians do, that don't believe that they can believe that and still be saved. Or even people that never even heard of it. Now, what's worse, he goes on to give examples. He now gives all these heretical theologians that hold it, and then he gets into detail in Lugo, who holds it. And Lugo, he goes into and extrapolates upon Lugo's opinion. And I'll give you a quote on some of these. So, Domenico Sotos, where he says, even though the precept of explicit faith in the Trinity incarnation absolutely obliges the whole world, yet there are also many who are invincibly ignorant of the mysteries from which the obligation excuses. Here he comes out and says, it obliges the whole world, and then he goes on and says, well, no, it doesn't oblige the whole world. If you're invincibly ignorant of the mysteries, per se, the pagan on the island, who never heard of it, he could be saved. Now, how can you reconcile? I'm going to read it again. This is the apostate Dominicus Soto in the 16th century, one of your Dominicans. Most of the gang leaders in Doninus Dogma were the Jesuits, but they weren't the only ones. The Dominicans were involved in this too. And then it just spread to everybody. Let me read it again. Even though the precept of explicit faith in the Trinity incarnation absolutely obliges the whole world. Now, absolutely obliges the whole world. Here we go. That's pretty clear to me. Whole world, that means the American Indians on this continent before it was preached. Yet, there also are many who are invincibly ignorant of the mysteries from which the obligation excuses. How could you reconcile those two statements? Unless he thinks the American Indians were living on Pluto or Mars, and they're not in this world. You see what I'm talking about, folks? How these guys, it's one thing after another with these guys. Then he goes on to talk about Franciscus Silvius, another heretic, salvation heretic. He says, as Franciscus Silvius writes, after the promulgation of the gospel, explicit faith in the incarnation is necessary for all for salvation by a necessity of precept, and also probably by necessity of means. This guy's hanging on the cusp of it. He says, but not necessarily by a necessity of means. So he's leaving open the window that there is a possibility that somebody could be saved without believing in it. He's got a whole few here. You can read them. No, it goes on and on. They're all the same. That was pretty clear up there. But he gets into Lugo. Then he says, Cardinal de Lugo calls the first speculatively probable, but he defends the second view at length. He holds the second opinion, that you don't have to explicitly believe in the incarnation and Holy Trinity. At length, in absolute terms, as more probable. Lugo thinks it's even more probable that you can be saved, that certain people can be saved, without believing in the incarnation and Holy Trinity. And then he goes on to give his examples. Lugo even, and then Alphonsus, as everybody knows, the apostate, Lugo was one of his favorite theologians. He's always quoting Lugo. And Lugo denied it so bad, he believed that Jews and Muslims who heard of Christ could be saved.
I will be quoting from my book, Bad Books on Salvation, the chapter titled John de Lugo, S.J., 1583 to 1660. I quote from his work, De Virtute Fidei Divinae. Those who do not believe with the Catholic Church can be divided into several categories. There are some who, while they do not believe all the dogmas of the Catholic religion, do acknowledge the one true God. Such are the Turks and all Muslims, as well as the Jews. So I stop there. Here's another heresy. He's teaching that Muslims and Talmudic Jews worship the true God. That's apostasy because they don't believe in Jesus or the Holy Trinity. Let me go on. Others acknowledge the triune God and Christ as most heretics do. Now, if these people are excused from the sin of infidelity by reason of invincible ignorance, they can be saved. For those who are in invincible ignorance about some articles of faith, but believe others are not formally heretics, but they have supernatural faith, by which they believe true articles, and on the basis there can follow acts of perfect contrition, by which they can be justified and saved. The same must be said about the Jews. If there are any who are invincibly mistaken about the Christian religion, for they can still have a true supernatural faith in God and about other articles based on sacred scripture, which they accept. And so with this faith, they can have contrition by which they can be justified and saved.
This is the same lugo the apostate Diamond Brothers use to teach people they can attend Mass in non-Catholic churches. I ask you, you apostate Diamonds, can I quote lugo denying the dogma and bind you to it and say, therefore, I'm allowed to believe that? Am I allowed to believe a Jew can be saved who denies Christ? Now, if the Diamond Brothers say I'm not allowed to believe that, then why use the other quote from Lugo to try to defend and let people go to non-Catholic churches and pray in communion with notorious heretics? Which, by the way, Lugo doesn't even really teach that. I prove that in my book. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy of these bastard, cowards, effeminate, wimpy weaklings, like the Diamond Brothers, the apostate Diamond Brothers, the St. Benedict Center up in New Hampshire. They're all the same. Do you see how the Diamond Brothers, because they go and pray in communion with the Vatican II Church, they go to a Vatican II church, by the way, folks, and pray in communion with the rat man who they condemn. They picked up his same heresies. I'm going to read to you, when I'm done with this, what that apostate Diamonds talk about Alphonsus. They say he only made a mistake. What I'm reading to you right now, out of his Theologia Moralis, is that just a mistake? Is that just a mistake? Or is that heresy? Or is that a denial of the salvation dogma? Now, if that's heresy, and it certainly is, the Diamond Brothers that apostate up in St. Benedict Center, Brother Francis Maloof in the New Hampshire group has to say it's heresy, if they don't condemn Alphonsus for teaching heresy, and if they don't denounce him as a heretic, they have no right to condemn anybody else for teaching heresy or denounce anybody as a heretic. Now, the group up in New Hampshire doesn't denounce anybody's heretics anyway. They're full-blown non-judgmentalists. The Diamond Brothers are even more hypocritical. They'll come out and say that, and they'll show you all the heretical teachings of the anti-popes of the Vatican II Church. John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul II, and the rat man Benedict 16th. They point out all his heresies. Well, how come when they teach heresy, they're guilty of it and they lost their office, but when Alphonsus teaches it and denies the basic dogma, he just made a mistake and he's okay. You can't have it both ways. And if Alphonsus is teaching heresy in here, folks, he's not a saint and he surely isn't. And I'm going to read you the statement that the Diamond Brothers said, and it's posted up on our website, which one of our catechumens sent me. And he sent it to me to show us how stupid these Diamond Brothers are, how foolish they are in their excuses. Now, let me just read you the email. We're going to go, he goes like this. One guy is writing to the Diamond Brothers about me. And this particular catechumen friend of ours who's trying to convert this guy has been hammering with my teachings, and this other guy's not going for it. This other guy wants to go to Mass on Sunday and knowingly pray in communion with notorious heretics at non-Catholic churches. So he likes the Diamond Brothers because they allow him to do that by misquoting Lugo. And who cares about Lugo anyway? Because I just told you what he believed about Jews and Muslims being saved. So I would just reverse that back on the Diamonds and say, because Lugo held that heretical opinion, am I allowed to hold it? I said, if you're going to use Lugo for one thing, how come you don't use him for the other? It applies for both or none at all. But here's what he says. Dear Most Holy Family Monastery, Most Diabolical Monastery, I won't even tell you all the stuff that goes on up at that place, so have your head spin. I guarantee you folks, if you ever met those two top apostate Diamonds, they're very different than what you have in their mind about what they really are like. There's many of us who've been up there and we know what they're like. Here he goes. I have a friend who communicates with R.I. Now, again, he still just refers to me as R.I. He's afraid to put my name out there. What a coward that is. That's like accusing somebody in court and you never have him called to court and you never use his name and let him present his defense. They do this all the time when it comes to me. Why do they not use my name, but they do use the name of others? because I refute him thoroughly. I tear him to pieces. I rip him to shreds. Because anybody of goodwill who reads me refuting the Diamond Brothers, anybody of goodwill can see their hypocrisy, their lies, their deceits, their deceptions, and their apostasy. That's why he doesn't use my name. So he refers to me as R.I. It's very easy for people to find me, especially when God's guiding you on top of it, just using your common sense and natural law. You can type in a few things they quote from me, and it'll pop up on the internet. And so that's how people find me. So he's given me publicity, so I really thank God for this. And I'm going to expose him, though, and take him apart on this, too, and show you how hypocritical he is and how cowardly and effeminate they are. Okay, I have a friend who communicates with R.I. I was wondering if you could give me the scoop on this guy. My friend comes up with some strange things from him, like R.I. says, there are no Catholic priests left. Oh, let's stop at that one. Okay, Diamonds, would you mind publicly posting on your website just one Catholic priest so I can call on them and find out if he's Catholic? They have not done so. They make like that's a big deal when people are saying, what's the difference even if there was only one Catholic priest left in the world or none? There are none, I assure you, folks. There aren't any. None that I know of. And I don't believe there are any, but none that I know of. I'm being honest with you. The Diamond Brothers are lying to you. Call them up or write them and ask them, would you please give me the name of that priest so I can call him and find out what he believes in. All right. And that R.I. is one of the two witnesses of the Book of the Apocalypse. That's a fact. I am. You don't like it? Tough. That's your business. That's your problem. Do you think God's not going to have somebody around in these final days? That he's going to put off the witnesses this long in the midst of all this great apostasy? Well, I am, and read on RJMI, and that's fact. You don't like it? That he chose me? Tough. That's your problem. All right? Now he goes, I keep telling my friend to keep an arm's length from him, but he still keeps coming back with things from R.I. Thanks for all you do, brothers, and our Lord's blessings. In the beginning, he was also complimenting on something they did on UFOs or something. I'm not putting that down necessarily. UFOs do have to be exposed, but that's another issue. The Diamonds are too deep into the occultic stuff. Too deep. You do have to expose it, so I'm not putting it down. But I know, believe me, if I was to tell you what went up there, those guys are working for the devil. Take my word for it. You don't even have to take my word for it. Just look at what they're teaching. One heresy is enough to make you, to put you in the camp of the devil. Anyway, here's what their answer. Concerning R.I., in the Beware section of our website, R.I., we have numerous articles about his heretical teachings and blatantly schismatic positions. Like what? Like, what is my heretical teaching? Oh, and you know what? Why they call me a schismatic? Because I won't be in communion with non-Catholics. That's their new definition of schismatic. That I refuse to pray and be in communion with non-Catholics. I refuse to go to a Vatican II church and pray in communion with the rat man. So therefore, I'm a schismatic. And I demand everybody else to do it or they can't be in communion with me. He calls me a schismatic because I demand people to take a specific abjuration, as the church requires, before I can even consider you Catholic. That's that new definition of schismatic, folks. That means when you're not in this loose, false ecumenical movement with all these traditionalists. Then he goes, because I'm not in communication with those diabolical bastards. All right, look. At length, we proved on dogmatic grounds that he is not a Catholic. In case there remained any doubt about that, just recently, R.I. reached a new low and confirmed everything we said about him. He actually denounced St. Alphonsus and St. Thomas Aquinas as heretics. Yeah. I'll stop there for a minute. Can you believe that? Oh, can you believe what Richard did? He denounced St. Alphonsus because he believed that you can get saved in the New Covenant era without believing in Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. I am denouncing him as a heretic precisely for the dogma they pretend to uphold. You understand? Aquinas, we're not done with that guy. I'm going to rip him to shreds when we're done on Aquinas. He taught that it's possible. Even though he thought God didn't create the world eternal, he thought that it was possible that God can create the world eternal. That's heresy. Because that would be another God of co-eternal look. Even to teach it's possible. That's like saying, if I asked you this question, is it possible for God to create another God? And you said, it's possible, that's apostasy, that's heresy. Because that other thing cannot be God. You can't even, if you answered that question, that it's even possible. If you said, well, I don't believe God created another God, but he could if he wanted to, no, he can't. It's impossible for God to lie or contradict himself. You can't, so this is Aquinas said, I believe God didn't create the world eternal, but I believe it's possible that if he wanted to, God could have created an eternal world. That's just one of his heresies. That's heresy because then the thing he created will be co-eternal with God or come before God. He was condemned by that as a heretic by William de Lamar, Boniface, John Peckham, and a whole bunch of others. And I'm just talking about one. This Aquinas has a lot of other heresies. You can't have I'm sticking on the salvation dogma with the apostate Alphonsus de Liguori. I'm sticking on this right now, and I'm putting these bastards on the spot. What say you, you diamond brothers? Either he taught heresy or he didn't. And if he taught heresy, how does he get off the hook and become a saint? But JP2 and Benedict 16 are notorious heretics and apostates who lost their office, whom you rightly denounce as automatically excommunicated heretics. How come it doesn't apply to Alphonsus, who is smarter than all these who denied a basic dogma? It is a basic dogma that they're denying. Now, you can't have it both ways. And if Alphonsus is not a heretic, then the salvation dogma is the salvation opinion. It's only an axiom. It's only a thesis. This is what the heretics say. Alright? So he's over there saying, can you believe that Arba, he's talking again, Alphonsus and Aquinas. Then he goes, that's correct. He denounced both of these canonized saints as heretics. Oh, yes. Okay. He has also proclaimed that Pope St. Pius V was not a saint. Correctamundo. He's got naked people up on the Vatican and never ripped them down. You better believe he's not a saint. All right. This proves without any doubt that he's not a Catholic, but an outrageous non-Catholic heretic. Why? Because I denounce somebody as a heretic? Why? Because I believe canonizations aren't infallible? And I will tell you, folks, that one hasn't really still needs to be settled by a future pope who really comes in and puts the quasher on it. Vatican Council really did do it. But my point being is, even before that, this was contested. The Diamond Brothers are acting as if this is a dogma. And if it is a dogma, we've got big problems. Then the salvation dogma is not the dogma. And all these so-called saints that we're catching with heretical positions are not heretical. That's what they did to Thomas. And that's why when they made him a saint, they swallowed all his heretical positions. But nowhere has the Catholic Church ever infallibly say canonizations are infallible. They specifically never mentioned anything about canonizations. I even had another hypocrite write me, this guy who believes canonizations aren't infallible, and he's still yelling at me. Well, Richard, I don't believe canonizations are infallible, but, you know, these popes did a lot of studying, and they checked out all these things, and they checked this, and they checked that. You know, when you're going against it, how do we know, for instance, if Aquinas or Liguori didn't convert on their deathbed and all that? And I said, well, fine. If they converted on their deathbed, that presents another situation. That doesn't make them a saint. That makes them saved by the skin of his teeth. That doesn't mean he's a saint. All it means is he saved his soul in the last moment. But certainly, the life they lived and the heresies they professed cannot make him a saint. That's like saying if Martin Luther, on his deathbed, converted and died 5 minutes later, he's a saint. In spite of all his heresies. That doesn't make a saint. And if canonizations aren't infallible, then they're not infallible. Period. That's the end of it. Either they are or they aren't. And you have many rotten, lousy apostate popes that canonize these people to promote their own errors. We're going to get into that in a moment, too, how the popes fit into this. Because the Diamond Brothers touch upon this. Oh, here's another good one. You're going to love this one, folks. He even said that if, quote, he could pull St. Thomas out of hell, put his skin back on him, and then peel it off and pour vinegar on his wounds to increase the torment, he would do it. Do I back off on that statement? Not one iota. I mean it 1,000,000,000%. And here's another example of the diamonds' wimpiness, their effeminacy. You think that's rough what I said? What goes on in hell? When God tortures people in hell for all eternity, their whole being burns with fire. They are in such excruciating agony that all the saints that even had a glimpse of it said, you can't even describe the pains of hell. So that if I was to just peel their skin off and pour vinegar on them, it would be like a cool winter breeze. Compared to the fires of everlasting hell. And if I'm vicious for saying that, then God is vicious for burning him right now and torturing him worse than I can. God even told me several times, he knows how righteous the anger I am. And you know what God says to me? Richard, don't worry, I already got him. They paid the price. There's nothing you can do to them any more than I'm doing to them right now for all eternity. Either you believe in the dogma of hell, and you believe they're suffering forever. It goes back to the diamonds of effeminacy with infants and little children. They got them in the, they say it's dogma that they're not suffering. How could it be? They're guilty of original sin. And anytime we say that God punishes a child or an infant, they go crazy. They accuse me, particularly on this point, of being diabolical. Now read my book, Damned Infants, and I get into all the examples in which God has infants dashed on the rocks. God had Moses go in there with his sword and kill infants. God killed the infants of in Egypt, the firstborn. So if you're going to speak like that, you're really condemning God. You're not condemned. I'm taking the place of God, as all Catholics should. And I'll take all the opprobrium. It doesn't bother me one bit. Here, that apostate Michael Diamond did a whole tape on the pains of hell and how excruciating it is. I come out and talk about peeling skin from pouring vinegar on. What does that compare to the other pains? It shows their infernal wimpiness. It shows what our Lord said about their effeminacy. They are effeminate beyond compare. Now, if I'm diabolical for saying that, then God's diabolical for doing worse to them in hell for all eternity. All right, so then he goes on, he says, boy, that's... Here's what he says after that. He says, Brandy says he's going to pour vinegar on him and all that. He goes, does one need say more? He is truly a demonic character, a false prophet. He's really basing his evidence on that one, that I'm going to peel his skin and pour vinegar on him. Oh, I am? All right. Based upon that sole piece of evidence and without any qualifications, as if there's not such a thing as just punishments. Even on earth, you're even allowed to incorporate torture for just reasons, not for unjust reasons. You're allowed to kill people for just reasons. You're allowed to go to war for just wars. These guys all fit in with the non-judgmentalist mode. But we're talking about a guy who's in hell. I guarantee you, if I pulled him right up now from hell, Aquinas, right now where he's burning, if I pulled him up right now and God put skin on him and peeled him up and put vinegar on him, he'd say, leave me up here. I'd rather stay up here. Get the vinegar. Get gallons of it. I don't want to go back down here again. Oh, thank you, Richard. You what an act of mercy. Am I not right? Because they talk about levels in hell. The higher you are, the less painful it is. But it's always painful. It's always painful, but less. The higher you go, but you're always in pain. So I'm being merciful to the bum. He's suffering worse than that. God said, Richard, don't worry about it. I got them. They're doomed. They're damned. They're dead. They're done. All right? I'm just pointing out to you these wimps, these little fairies like the diamonds, and people like him. All right, here's what he goes on to say. What's sad is that we know a few people who actually fell into schismatic positions, and thus outside the church, as a result of reading his heretical and schismatic writings. Now, it's amazing, right? I got heretical writings, and I defend the salvation. Now, I may, but I don't. You can check my site. But here's my point I'm going to make here.
The diamonds say,
I have heretical writings, and I uphold the salvation dogma correctly. They don't. By the way, folks, the Diamond Brothers even deny the salvation dogma. You see how they get infected? Alphonsus comes out and teaches. Alphonsus de Liguori, the small g god, comes out and teaches that it's possible that people can be saved during a new covenant era without believing Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity, and he's not a heretic, but I am. Figure that one out, folks. See, one thing leads to another. I'm just pointing out their hypocrisies. Now he goes on and says, these writings specialize in distortions, straw man arguments, exaggerations, and slightly wrong conclusions. Oh, that was the best thing he said about me. Slightly wrong, you know. Which lead to disastrous results. His writings were quite dangerous because they did run along Catholic lines in many cases, but only to insert deadly errors here or there. What do you mean? Like not knowingly praying and communion with notorious heretics? Is that one of my deadly big bad boy things? Because I don't go to the Vatican II church like you bums do? And praying commune with the rat man whom you denounce? Is that one of my big bad heresies? Or because I tell people they need to take a specific abjuration? Or because I open the mouth that God has given me by his grace and quiz people and I'm an inquisitor to find out what they believe in and demand them to be Catholic and live the Catholic life? Then he goes, but now, he says, these Richard's followers are even less dangerous because of his recent denunciation of canonized saints. Boy, did Richard really make a fool of himself on that one, huh? All right. This should alert anyone who possesses even a modicum of fidelity. I like that word modicum. That's one of his big words. He's trying to be a Rudite. He tries, but he's not. No use in trying what you're not, but you can tell when people struggle with that. You know, modicum. That's one of them big words. This should alert anyone who possesses even a modicum of fidelity to the Catholic truth that R.I. is not remotely Catholic. But Alphonsus is not only remotely Catholic, he's purely Catholic and he's a saint. And he taught that you can be saved in the new covenant era without believing in Jesus and the incarnate. You see the hypocrisy, folks? Then he goes on to say, perhaps now these few individuals who were spiritually seduced by him can see what spirit moved them, the evil spirit. What does our Lord say? Blessed are they when men shall revile you and rebuke you and cast your name and as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Put these guys on the spot and ask them. And these guys don't even hold the salvation dogma they profess to believe in. They believe that a kid who's born into a Lutheran family, when he reaches the use of reason, can actually be a Catholic till he's 20, 21 years old until someone teaches him a Catholic dogma and they deny it. They come up with scenarios like that. Okay? And he says, but perhaps not since their own bad will, their lack of charity, pride, and Pharisaical tendencies played a major part in the fact that they were deceived. He's calling us Pharisees because we teach the full deposit of the Catholic faith. Because we really believe that God's Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions, but 10 commandments that you must obey impeccably, every one of them. Violate one of those things mortally, you're going to hell. Because we practice prayer, because we practice mortification, because we practice studying the faith, because we inquire about people. All this thing he calls Pharisaical. Which goes to show you, what does that mean? He's using that Pharisaical thing out of context because he's lax. He's liberal. I know. He does not even ask anybody what they believe point by point and refers to them as Catholics. He doesn't care what his people, believe me folks, the diamonds don't care about you. I know. I lived up there. They only care about themselves and their own popularity and fame. I know it. Anybody comes up there for individual help, those guys couldn't help you. The devil will help you more than the diamonds. But he's the one that's working in them. Now look, it says here, here we go, and here comes the real big part. What's interesting about his case is that while he purports to be an uncompromising Catholic, it is not an exaggeration to say that he is now on the level of the Protestant reformers. That is correct. He has truly founded his own church. This isn't an exaggeration. His few followers now rip prayers to St. Thomas from Catholic prayer books and boldly proclaim that he edits papal encyclicals. He's actually right there with the most notorious Protestant heretics in history. Okay, so now, catch the drift here. They're hanging themselves on this. They're papalators now on the one side. That popes can do no evil. That popes can do no wrong. This is the Chicago Sanborn papalator group that believes everything the pope teaches is infallible, that they can never be wrong, that they can never be corrected, that they can never be resisted, that they can never be lawfully disobeyed. That's what they're saying. And you know how they're going to get hung on this one? Because that's the same argument all our Sede Vacantists get that hold that position. I got it from my uncle. Oh, Richard, now that you denounce the Vatican II Church and the apostate anti-popes, you're just like Luther. We all get that same argument. And so by the diamond brothers telling me that I have no right to even criticize the Pope when he's wrong, when he's weak, when he's bad, and he makes bad laws, then what right do they have to judge the apostate anti-popes of the Vatican II Church? You can't have it both ways. If we're allowed to judge a Pope when he notoriously sins, and it is our obligation to judge that he has sinned and inform of him his penalty, then you can do with popes for all generations. It doesn't hold for just one. He's pretending as if all the popes were good and that the popes are impeccable and they can never be bad. We're going to prove him wrong in a couple seconds here. He says he is actually right there with the most notorious Protestant heretics in history. Not in terms of effect, of course, because only a few pay attention to him, but in terms of content. Many of the Protestants who founded their own sect said that the Catholic Church fell into apostasy. I never said the Catholic Church fell into apostasy. I said the popes were rotten and bad and wicked. Because I say that we had bad popes, I'm a bad boy. Well, I'm going to show you. And I'm going to put these apostate diamond brothers in a spot. And when all you people out there, when you're done listening to me, you're going to have to rip out one apostate papal teaching and keep another because you can't have both. I'm going to prove that to you right now as we go on. I never said the Catholic Church is an apostasy, ever. When a pope teaches infallible, it's the Holy Ghost speaking through that pope, and that's a done deal. It's done. That's what makes our dogmas. But when I come out and say you've had bad popes like and pornography on the Vatican ceiling, don't tell me I can't denounce a pope as a wicked and immoral man for having naked statues and naked pictures on the Vatican wall. Don't dare compare that. As a matter of fact, that's what scandalized a lot of people in the Protestant era, because some of these phony baloney so-called Catholics idolized the popes and pretended these things were okay instead of acknowledging the real abuses that were taking place. Leo XIII, who talked very well against Americanism on one hand, then his other encyclicals, he's actually teaching horrible things. I ripped them out. I ain't going to have it. You're not going to convert no good-willed people by making excuses, which the Diamond Brothers are doing. You see the hypocrisy of these Diamond Brothers, how it stinks to the high heavens? How they tried to pretend to make me out to be a Lutheran who's actually overturning the whole church? The complete opposite is true. They're going to use his own argument against them when they're going to say, well, then what right do you have to denounce the apostate antipopes of the Vatican II Church? Aren't you saying you're going back to the pristine pure days before
the Second
Vatican Council? But guess what? The days were not pristine and pure totally. There's always been mostly bad Catholics in the church and very few good popes in the history of the church. Now look, folks, every one of you out there are forced to take sides. And if you're going to accept one teaching, you're ripping out the other. All right. So that puts the Diamond Brothers on a spot on that issue, you see. Now let me just come back and go back and I think finish what he said, if it's worth anything. But I think his railing attack against me. Wait till we get into these other so-called saints. We're going to show you. We already exposed Teresa Lousseau, the big stinkweed, last week. You're going to hear a lot more stuff coming on here. I go back to them again. If canonizations are infallible, how did the Holy Ghost let those popes support
so-called saints who are actually heretics, notorious heretics at that, to accept Alphonsus as a saint who denied the salvation dogma?
They have to drop the salvation dogma and reduce it to an opinion or a thesis or an axiom. Now I'm showing you the hypocrisy of these two snakes. These guys up there are the true devils, folks. Don't be deceived by them. They like to go on TV shows and radio shows. I don't know what they're doing. I don't follow them. I'm not going to even tell you all the things I know about from being up there. I will tell you for sure they made a pact with the devil. All right? You don't need to take my word on that. All you need to know is that they're heretics. And they're apostates on several points. We had another dumb guy. Right back, he's even almost worse than the apostate Diamonds. He goes, well, I agree with the Diamonds on it. You got a little too rough on Aquinas. Too rough. Too rough. If what he did, and he certainly did do it, I ain't get rough enough. And then he said, well, you know, I believe, Richard, they're not infallible canonizations. Well, then if it's not infallible, that's it. Either it is or it isn't. And if it isn't, it isn't. End of discussion. But his big part was, he thought this. He said, we don't know what happened on his deathbed. Well, I agree, okay? People could convert on their deathbed. But again, I'll go back to it. That doesn't make a man a saint. That just means he saved his soul by the skin of his teeth. That would be like saying Martin Luther converts on his deathbed and dies 10 minutes later, and we canonize him as a saint. No way. And the reason I firmly believe Aquinas is in hell, because when a guy is that famous and that corruptive to the public, God will make his repentance public so everybody would know that before he died, he repudiated everything he did, and God did not allow it to happen. God even killed Aquinas on the way to the Council of Lyons in 1274 before he got there so he wouldn't infect the people with his theophilosophy and his other heresies. Wait till you read about all the controversies that were really going on at that time that had been buried. And let me just finish up now here and see what these guys ended up with on this, on their stupidities. Yeah, again, his big thing is like, well, if the Pope, he goes, if the saints whom the church canonizes are heretics, as he says, then the Catholic Church is heretical. No. Does the fact that these apostate antipopes are not Catholic make the Catholic Church heretical? That's an illogical, stupid, and it's going to bite them back in their own behinds. You watch it. The people that don't hold the city of a constant position are going to tear the Diamonds apart on their own belief here. They're being hypocritical. You can't have it both ways. All right. Then he goes, he says, oh, here's the biggie, folks. I got to finish with this. Because you people were trying to say out there, well, where did he say Alphonsus just made a mistake? You're going to love this part. This is the Wallapalooza. He took his schismatic position that anyone who utters a statement that is wrong or at variance with Catholic teaching is necessarily a heretic, with no room for mistakes or good faith, to its heretical conclusion by denouncing as a heretic every saint who made a mistake. Every saint who made a mistake. Let me finish this. Okay, yeah, here we go. So now he's saying that Alphonsus just made a mistake. I was wrong for saying he was a heretic. Or the stinkweed, who told pagans are wildflowers that are pleasing to God. Wow, let's go on. On the other hand of this, we have the false traditionalist idolaters. Now he's trying to back off a little and say, well, I'm not praising Aquinas. They go to the other extreme and hold that a canonized saint cannot possibly make a mistake. They don't believe that. They could make a mistake. Maybe they do. I don't care. That's their problem. But again, we're listening to the big word that he's using here, mistake. These false traditionalist heretics attempt to explain away every error of St. Thomas Aquinas, including his blatant errors in the Immaculate Conception. It was an error back at that time, not heresy, but he has other heresies. Now watch. These idolaters are so enamored by St. Thomas's intellect that they cannot believe that he could have been wrong on anything, so they deny the truth. It says, the Catholic position which we espouse is that these great saints are in heaven and that they were great teachers of the faith and models for our imitation. However, they were not infallible and made some mistakes. We're back to the million-dollar word that substitutes itself for a heresy. That's what JP2 does. They never used the H words and neither did Fenton. I ask you again, Diamond Brothers. Is Alphonsus Liguori's teaching that it is possible to be saved during the New Covenant era without believing in the Incarnation, explicitly believing in Jesus Christ in the Incarnation, simply a mistake? Or is it heresy? Answer me. If it's heresy, then the salvation dogma is a dogma. If it's only a non-heretical mistake, then our dogma is not a dogma. It truly is only an opinion, an axiom, and a thesis, which is what all the liberals say, which is what the Diamonds really do believe anyway, because they deny the dogma. You understand? Nothing about heresies here. Oh, anybody can make it. Now look what he goes here. He says, they can make some mistakes. They were human beings. Oh, wow. I'm glad he told me that one. You know, I didn't know that. Profound. They were human beings. What does that mean? Our Lord said most human beings are liars and deceivers and evil. If anything, it condemns him. He says most of the people in the world are going to hell. So what does that mean, you're human beings? That means I'm allowed to teach heresy? I'm allowed to be a heretic? I'm allowed to promulgate it to people and corrupt them with my infection? I'm allowed to do whatever I want because I'm a human being? You understand how they're swaying people here? He's the same as apostate anti-Pope John Paul II. Is kissing the Quran or teaching that Muslims worship the true God only a mistake? Which is what the apostates say up in the New Hampshire Center? They don't even say that. Actually, Maloof, I think, believes it's true. They do worship the God. But my point is, you see how they're hanging themselves up on the high hoist here? It's not. Lugo teaches the same. Lugo's horrible. He teaches a Talmud of Jew denies Christ, could actually be a Catholic and inside the church. That's the Lugo the Diamonds hang their hat on. And then he goes, they were human beings. They wrote voluminous amounts and thus were bound to make some mistakes. Oh, no, wait. They wrote voluminous amounts and thus we're bound to make some mistakes. Some mistakes. Again, we're back to the word mistakes. This is typical daimonian nonsense. Alright? I just exposed it to you. And I'm telling you folks, stay away from these guys like the plague. The only people that belong to them and go to them are people that are worthy of them. People who don't want to profess a full deposit of faith because it's going to bring down all kinds of persecution on them. All kinds of persecution from every quarter. I will tell you folks, the apostate Diamond Bros are only concerned about one thing. Anybody who knows them will admit it. Even the other heretics in the traditional movement who met him. We always used to call it the Brother Michael Diamond Show. It's all about him. Believe me folks, he cares nothing for human beings at all. Even on the pastoral level. I know it. And everybody else that went up there knows it. And I'm going to tell you, he made an explicit pact with the devil. I'm not going to give you all the details. That kid was so possessed when I up there, words can't describe it. Very different from what you might be hearing. But you don't got to believe me on that. I'm just saying that now for the record. One day maybe I'll tell the whole story. But I will tell you this. All you got to know is his heresies, his apostasies, his hypocrisies. Read my brief against the Diamond Brothers. And take side, folks. I don't care if they call me a devil till kingdom come. I don't care what anybody says about me. If I'm serving the true God, and I'm doing His will, and I'm obeying all His commandments, that's all I care about. I don't care one bit whether you believe it or not. I care, though, and I'm saying it, for goodwill people out there who are going to listen to me. Just listen to my teachings and catch their hypocrisy and take them to task and run far from them. End of sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.